your Bibles to the book of 3 John. The book of 3 John. I'm going to spend a little while in 3 John tonight and then complete the study last Wednesday night on good and evil. On good and evil. It's part of our lessons on justice. Maybe a little hard for you to see it, but it is. And I'm going to start off with 3 John and teach it a little bit and explain to you what it means, and then we'll go into the study on good and evil. Page 1327, verse 1, the elder, or pastor, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Down verse 5, beloved, talking to Gaius, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, and to strangers, or guests, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. But down to verse 9, we turn our attention to a second person. We've looked at Gaius, now we turn to a man named Diotrephes. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us, with malicious, and that word malicious is also translated evil other places in the Bible, with malicious or evil words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, notice there's that word now, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. This is a strong statement here. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now he turns to a third man. Demetrius hath a good report of all men. I'm going to look at those three men just for a little while and talk to you on the conclusion of our study of last week on good and evil. I think if you'll listen tonight, it'll certainly be worth you being attentive. I think you'll learn something, many somethings tonight. Father, bless the study as we look at this important subject of good and evil. Bless me as I teach and our people as they listen. May together we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, we open thy book. Tonight as I drove up, I'd driven around a little while, and as I drove up, I saw the people coming in. And I was excited to see them coming, Bible in hand, realizing that the Bibles they carried would soon be open. And I'd be directing them to Scripture, trying to teach the Word of God. Thank you for this place, this Bible-centered place. Now bless our fellowship and our study. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to teach you what I want to teach you tonight, which I think is one of the more interesting of the studies to me, how it will affect you, I do not know. But I must review just a bit and cover some of the ground that we covered last week just to bring many of you up to date, because there are hundreds of you who were not here last Wednesday night. I want to remind you that sin and evil in the New Testament or the Bible are not the same. You'll find if you have any kind of a Greek study book at all, you'll find that the word sin, the Greek word for the word sin, is never used in the New Testament for the word evil. There are several words that are used for sin in the Greek and the New Testament, but none of those words are used for the word evil. And there are three words that are used for the word evil, but there are none of those that are used for the word sin. So it makes it very plain that the word sin and the word evil are not the same. The word sin means missing the mark. And we're going to come to that in a few minutes a little more in detail. But sin means missing the mark. A person loses his temper and says some bad words, that's sin. A person in a time of weakness takes a drink of beer, and that's sin. A person in a time of weakness does something that is licentious, and that's sin. But that is not evil. Evil and sin are not synonymous. All sin is not evil, but all evil is sin. But evil is not the only thing that sin is. All right, let me say this. So sin is missing the mark. Evil is a sin which injures. It's an injuring sin. It also is a conspiracy kind of a sin. Evil is done usually by more than one person, and it always has to do with injuring. We used this illustration last Wednesday night. Drinking whiskey is sin. Selling whiskey or working in a whiskey factory is evil. Smoking is sin. But raising tobacco or working in a tobacco plant or selling tobacco is evil. Cursing is sin. But gossip is evil. You see, that which takes more than one person to do and that which injures, if you please, that is evil. Now, do you get the difference between sin and evil? Sin is whatever you do that's wrong. It may hurt you, but it doesn't necessarily hurt anybody else. But when you sin with an intent to injure somebody and join somebody else in doing that, like the liquor dealer joins with the liquor factory worker and joins with the liquor advertisers, and they all join to try to get you to drink liquor, then you are sinning in drinking the liquor, but they're doing evil because they're trying to hurt you, and that's what evil is. Now, for example, I've said this. Joseph, when Joseph, in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was betrayed and by his brothers and sold into slavery, they got together and decided to sell Joseph and make money from the sale. That was evil. It was sin, but it was the evil. Yes, evil sin. It was a desire to hurt, a conspiracy to hurt. When Sanballat and Tobiah in the book of Nehemiah decided to fight the building of the wall, rebuilding of the wall, and they used many methods, that was called evil or an evil report. It was evil because it was a conspiracy to hurt the work of God. When Absalom rebelled against his father David and tried to take over the kingdom, that was evil because there was a conspiracy with Mephibosheth and Ahithophel and others in an effort to injure David. When David, now listen to this, turn to Psalm 51 for a minute. Psalm 51, I think it's worth our looking at. Psalm number 51. Page 623. This psalm deals with David's confession of his sins against Bathsheba when he committed adultery and against Uriah when he had him killed. Now look at verse number 4. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. All right? Now, that was with Bathsheba. You got it? It was a sin of passion committed with Bathsheba. But there was no intent to hurt anybody, you see. All right? Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. So David said the two things I did. I sinned, and I did evil. What was the sin? That was the adultery with Bathsheba. What was the evil? That was the conspiracy to kill her husband, you see. So one was sin, and one was evil. The sin was the adultery, or the sin of passion, and the evil was the plot of the conspiracy to kill Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. When Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron, that was called evil. When Saul rebelled against David and tried to kill David and conspired to take David's life, that was called evil. Now, what I'm saying, anytime two people or more get together to try to hurt somebody, that's evil. Now, it's also sin, but it's the worst form of sin. It was worse for David to kill Uriah than it was for to commit adultery with Bathsheba. Because the sin with Bathsheba was a a passionate sin of the moment. And that's sinful. But not as sinful as the deliberate planning of the murder of Uriah. You see what I'm saying? A plot that is done wrong is worse than something that's done in a moment. A person talks to somebody. Here are two fellows talking, and they get mad. One of them says something to one fellow, and he punches him out, knocks him down. Now, that's sin. But now, evil is if the same fellow hides with somebody else in the alley. As this fellow comes by, they plan to jump him
and he gets to the alley. And that is evil. Okay, now that means, hear me carefully now, that means gossip is worse than adultery. I'm not making light of adultery. That means that somebody gets mad all of a sudden and kills somebody extemporaneously. Can you kill somebody extemporaneously? You know what I'm trying to say. Just on the spur of the moment, gets mad and kills somebody, hits him and knocks him down, his head hits a rock or something, and the fellow dies. Now, that's sin. But that's not as bad as gossip. Because gossip is a planned effort to hurt somebody. So evil is a form of sin. Sin, evil is not sin. There is sin that is not evil. But evil is when you plan to do something. When you get together and plan to hurt somebody. When you get together and plan to destroy somebody. When you get together and try to hurt a church. The evil people that are trying to hurt our college right now. That they're evil people. The Bible says they're evil people. They conspire to try to hurt Hiles Anderson College. And that's worse than a sin of passion. It is a planned conspiracy to try to injure people that, I'm defining it as of right now. Now turn to Genesis chapter number 2 and you'll find where it starts. 34 times in the Bible you find the words good and evil mentioned side by side or together in the same verse. The first place is in Genesis chapter 2. And verse number 9. Look at it. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now it does not say there that's the tree of the knowledge of good and sin. Now define the word good. The word good that's mentioned, every time the word evil and good are mentioned together, the word good is a word that has a beneficiary to it. It is doing good to somebody. Now, you can have a good person who doesn't cheat, doesn't lie, doesn't steal, but that's not the word used here. The word used here is doing good, feeding a hungry person, clothing a cold person, encouraging a discouraged person, winning an unsaved person. It is an act of benevolence given to somebody. And that's what the word good means. All right, look at that verse 9 again then. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of the life that is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, there you have the first mention of the words good and evil in the same verse. 33 other times in the Bible you'll find good and evil mentioned in the same verse. It means the doing of good. Okay, look at me. It means good means doing something to help somebody on a positive note, and bad means doing something to hurt somebody. Sin that is meant to hurt somebody else, sin that causes you to premeditate something, that is evil. And the Bible said that it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look down to verse 17 of chapter 2 there. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest there, thou shalt surely die. Look at chapter 3 and verse 5, please. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Look at verse number 9, verse 22. Verse 22 of chapter 3. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Now, I want to give you 6 statements tonight. I want you to follow me very carefully. Number 1, evil is worse than other sin. Evil is worse than other sin. Sin that you do that purposely tries to hurt somebody is worse than other sin. I don't care if the person deserves to be hurt. You're not the one supposed to hurt them. Vengeance belongs to God, not to you. So when anybody tries to hurt somebody else, that's evil, and that's the worst kind of sin that you can commit. Gossip is worse than cursing. Did you hear what I said? You get on your telephone and spread something that's going around, that's worse than folks that curse. Because cursing does not hurt them, but that is sin. But when you gossip about somebody, and I'm talking about you do. To you, gossip is what somebody else does. No, I'm talking about what you do. When you say, did you hear thus and so? And you spread a bad report. then you are committing evil, which is worse than cursing, which is a sin. Now, I'm simply saying we have our own little set of standards by what we think right and wrong is, but God has a different set of standards. God does not want us hurting somebody. God does not want us plotting to hurt somebody. God does not want us conspiring to hurt somebody. And because of that, he says this, sin, anything that you do that's wrong is sin, but you do something wrong trying to hurt somebody else other than yourself, then that is a conspiracy, a plot, and that is the worst kind of sin, and God calls that evil, so evil is the worst. Look, for example, at Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. It's a very important verse here. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17. Now, when you found it, look at me, and I want to preface it with a few statements. We are not supposed to treat people who sin the same way we treat people that do evil. You've heard me talk about salvaging people. You've heard me talk about people that go to the depths of sin. Alcoholism, dope, sensuality, fornication, adultery. You heard me talk about lifting those folks and salvaging those folks. And Jesus was a friend of those folks, but Jesus was not a friend of evil people. Jesus was a friend of sinners. The Bible says he was a friend of sinners. But at no place does it say that Jesus hung around with evil people. The evil people were the ones that he railed on the most. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Why? They were evil, evil people conspiring to hurt somebody else. No Christian should ever try to hurt anybody. No Christian should ever try to hurt anybody. The honest truth is, that is evil. Now let me show you what it means in Romans 16, 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Or look at me. If somebody's, it says them, it's plural here now, mark them, all right, if people get together and try to cause division among the people of God, is that just sin or is it evil? Talk to me, what is it?
Evil.
Now, so what are we supposed to do to evil people? It says avoid them. Avoid them. What are you supposed to do to Vic Nischik when you see him on the street? Avoid him. George Godfrey the same way. Avoid them. That's Bible. Yeah. Now, if you see somebody in our church that has gone down to the tavern and gotten drunk, and you see him on the street, you're supposed to try to help him. But you see, you're supposed to avoid the evil people. The Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse. So you're supposed to avoid evil people. I'll tell you why. Because if you don't avoid evil people, they will make you an evil person. I do not know how many people have run with the evil crowd trying to change the evil crowd that became a part of the evil crowd. You see? It's very simple. I've forgotten 3 John. Good night. Go to 3 John here, my soul. You'll be old someday. Page 1327. I just want to take a few minutes here. Now, there are three people mentioned in 3 John. Look at verse 1. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." All right, Gaius. Good guy or bad guy? All right. Look at verse number 9. You have the second fellow. "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds, which he doeth." Get this. Prating. I trace that word prating. And you know what it means? It means falsely accusing. That encourages me to think that even the beloved Apostle John had folks falsely accused him. Doesn't that encourage you folks that have been falsely accused? He said, "Prating against us with malicious," and that word malicious is also the word evil, "with evil words, and not content therewith." Okay, so you got Gaius, good guy, bad guy. You got Diotrephes, who's prating against them, against John, with evil words. Now look, when you speak evil words, you always have somebody listen to you. You don't go out in the woods alone and speak evil words. You don't go out and talk to the birds and the bees and the flowers in the woods and say, I got some bad thing I want to tell you. No, it's more than one person. Anytime one person tells a bad thing about somebody else to another person, that's evil, because there's two people getting together to injure somebody, one with his tongue and the other with his ear. All right? So we have Gaius, good guy, bad guy. Talk to me, good guy, bad guy. Diotrephes, good guy, bad guy. Look at verse number 11. Demetrius hath good report of all men and the truth itself. And we also bear, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that this record is true. Demetrius, good guy, bad guy. All right, Gaius, good guy, bad guy. Diotrephes, good or bad? Demetrius, good or bad? All right, so these men were chosen by the apostle of the Holy Spirit, typical church members. Now, there's several things I want you to notice here. Every church has a Gaius, every church has a Demetrius, and every church has a Diotrephes. I don't care where you go. The devil has no new methods. The same thing that happened in Moses and Aaron when Korah rebelled and did evil against Moses and Aaron is exactly what's happening tonight in fundamental churches all across America. It's all the same thing. Everybody has their Gaius, their good people. Everybody has their Diotrephes, their bad people. Everybody has their Demetrius. But I want you to learn something else. And that is, every church has a majority of good people. Two good ones, one bad one. Every church has a majority of good people. Now, we have these three people that are represented. Is anybody listening? We have these three people that are represented. All right? Now look at verse 11. He's talking to the rest of the folks now. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Who was evil? Who was evil? Diotrephes. He was the guy that was falsely accusing. He was the guy that was trying to injure. Now look at me. You want to know whom to follow in any church in the whole world? Follow the people that are being accused and not those that are accusing. Yeah. The accusers are not the ones you're supposed to follow. You're supposed to mark them and avoid them. And I'll guarantee you, they're always in the minority. And they wouldn't get anybody if folks didn't try to treat them like they would sinners. And give them an ear and listen to them. But he says, verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil. Now, the word evil means doing bad, trying to hurt somebody. That's there in every church. But he says, but that which is good. What does it mean? That person that does good. That person that's helping people that are in need. That person that's doing good to people. That person buying a pair of shoes for a poor kid. That person buying a coat for a poor lady. That person helping somebody to go to a Christian school. That person who's lifting somebody. Follow Demetrius and follow Gaius, but don't follow Diotrephes. Now, who is Diotrephes? He's the guy that was spreading gossip. And the Bible says those are the ones you're supposed to follow and not follow the evil person. Now then, now that I got 3 John out of the way, I want to give you some interesting things. I said first, evil is worse than just a plain sin. Second, now I'm getting down to the meat of it now, so follow me carefully. Evil comes because of good. Just sin does not come because of good. Evil comes because of good. May I ask you a question? What coach and football team in America right now is under a conspiracy by the press? Lou Holtz and Notre Dame. Anybody want to know why? Because the best football team in America, college football team in America. What am I saying? I'm saying that evil is caused by good. Anybody know here the name of the baseball team and its owner under the eye of the press, and the owner recently had to resign? What's his name? Steinbrenner. What team? Yankees. You know why Steinbrenner is the... And I'm not... See, a lot of you folks are against Steinbrenner because you listen to the gossip of the press. You don't know a single thing about Steinbrenner other than what the media says. And you judge Mr. Steinbrenner by what the media says. You say, what do you think about Steinbrenner? I don't know. I never met him. So I don't know. But I'm not going to believe what the liberal press says about him. You see? But I do know this thing. I know the New York Yankees, under the leadership of Mr. George Steinbrenner, have won more games and have a better one loss record than any other team in the American League. I wonder why Mr. Steinbrenner is the object of a conspiracy, and I wonder why. Because he was on the top. Everybody shoots for the Yankees. Well, when I was in Texas, a boy growing up, every day I wanted the Yankees to lose, and every week I wanted Notre Dame to lose. Why? They're on top. Let me ask you a question. What baseball player is in prison right now because of a conspiracy with the press for his gambling? Pete Rose. If Pete Rose had only played 2 weeks in big leagues and had gotten six hits, he wouldn't be in prison tonight. And if he's in prison, everybody that plays the lottery ought to be in prison too. And the people that allow the lottery to exist ought to be in prison too. Well, then why is Pete Rose in prison? Why is he the object of all this investigation and scandal? Because he's the best baseball player ever lived. What church tonight is the object in America of the most criticism? The largest fundamental church, largest church in America. Why? Because listen carefully now, doing good brings evil. Folks don't plot against the fellow who's on bottom, they plot against the fellow who's on top. So, I want to show you Scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 7, verse number 21. Romans chapter 7, verse number 21. Read that out loud, please. Romans 7, 21. Ready? I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. What does evil follow? Good. When you do good, then the do-batters are after you. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 18 and verse number 20. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 20. Page 792. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. That's enough right there. Look at me. Jeremiah is saying, I've given my life to doing good. Positive good. By doing good, not just being good, but doing good. The word good here that connects with evil is not being good, it's doing good. It's not talking here about not dancing, not drinking, not cussing, not smoking, not committing adultery, not stealing. That's not it. It's talking about the doing of good. The positive doing of good, where somebody is a beneficiary of your good. All right? So what he says is this. He says that when I did good, they recompensed evil for it. All right? Evil comes because of good. Evil is an organized system to stop good. Hear me? Evil is an organized system to stop good. Well, you say, who's behind it? The devil's behind it. The devil didn't want those Chicago kids coming out here getting the gospel. The devil don't want those girls to learn how to be good wives. The devil don't want his Chicago boys to learn how to be decent citizens. The devil doesn't want that. Oh, their dirty communist kind of socialism program says they want it. They don't want that. They don't want to pay for them becoming a good citizen. They want to pay for them having illegitimate babies. I'm simply saying this, that the devil is interested. In fact, he will try to shoot down and will organize a conspiracy of evil against anybody or any system that does good. That which benefits others. So it's an organized system to stop good. Now, a lot of people don't know the devil's inspiring them. A lot of people don't go to the devil and say, devil, what can I do to hurt good? But the devil uses people sometimes, even though they're naive about it. He uses people to hurt good. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. 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 Evil is an organized, systematic plan to stop good. Now, the devil doesn't mind you stopping the being of good. That's why the devil doesn't bother these deeper life churches. They're just sitting there being good. They're not running any buses. They don't have any soul-winning campaigns. They're not getting anybody out of hell. They're just sitting there being good. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Evil does not attack the be-gooders, it attacks the do-gooders. All right, now follow me. Evil comes because of good. Number three, good is what overcomes evil. Hear me. Good is both the cause of evil and the cure of evil. The doing of good is what makes evil workers attack you. If the First Baptist Church of Hammond was running 35 in Sunday school and had one person saved every decade, we wouldn't have an enemy. And I'd probably be the chaplain of the local Kiwanis Club. It is evil is caused by doing good. When I would do good, evil is present. You say, you young preacher boys better listen to what I'm saying tonight. One of these days you're going to face exactly what the rest of us out here are facing right now. All of America, these preachers are facing it. If you do anything for God, the devil's going to launch a conspiracy to destroy you. So, I said evil comes because of good. Now I say, good is what overcomes evil. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Page 1207. Read it out loud, please. Very short verse, Romans 12:21. Ready? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, that means doing good. All right, now what causes evil? Tell me. Say it out loud. What causes it? Doing good. Again, what causes evil? Doing good. Then what conquers evil? Doing good. So a church or a person or a group of people are doing good. And then the devil leads people to conspire against them, and evil comes to destroy the doing of good. Okay, how are we going to destroy the evil? You destroy the evil by keep on doing good. By doing more good. Now follow me carefully. You don't destroy the evil by attacking the evil or organizing a warfare against the evildoers. When you do that, then you're doing evil and you join them in their sin. Did you hear me? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Make it verse 8. Page 13:14. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and that word pitiful is not what our word pitiful means. Many of you are, that's the only part of the Bible you're obeying. Be courteous. That word pitiful means compassionate, by the way. Not rendering evil for evil. Look at me. Well, better still, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. Page 1270. Read that verse with me out loud, please. The first line. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. All right, look at me. Follow me carefully. Here is a group of people who see the First Baptist Church of Hammond is doing good. And by the way, no doubt in my mind, more good is done by this church than any church in the world. No doubt in my mind. The greatest missionaries sent out in the world today come out from these pews right here. Greatest missionaries. The devil would love to destroy the bus ministry. That's why a few of our local enemies went to the authorities over in Gary and said that we're guilty of child abuse because we're bringing these kids and not feeding them while they're on the buses, and they're on the buses quite a while. We're not feeding them. Now, that is a wicked, vile, evil done by some of our enemies locally trying to stop the bus ministry. Why? The devil doesn't like the bus ministry here. Why? Because we are doing good with these bus people, and if you do good, what comes immediately? Huh? There's a good cause. Evil. You mark it down. You mark it down. If you're going to spend your life trying to do good to people and do good things for people, you mark it down, you are going to be the object of evil people. Because good, the doing of good, is what causes evil. Don't be surprised if folks try to scandalize you. Don't be surprised if a group of people get together and try to destroy you in your neighborhood. Don't be surprised if folks try to ruin you. Why? Because evil, which is a conspiracy of people for the injuring of somebody, evil is caused by good. But good is what conquers evil. Wouldn't I like tonight? Wouldn't I like tonight? Tell all I know. Wouldn't I enjoy telling all I know about people trying to hurt me and hurt us? Every one of them. Wouldn't I enjoy that? Wouldn't I enjoy putting out a bunch of tapes and books and articles telling what I know about these evil men? And they are evil men. Not sinful men, only evil men. But I'm not going to do it. If any of you rascals are here, you're probably saying, phew. I'm not going to do it. Because then I'd be as rotten as you are. See, I'm not supposed to get a conspiracy to try to destroy or hurt you because you're getting a conspiracy to try to destroy or hurt me. My Bible said don't render evil for evil. Don't render conspiracy for conspiracy. Don't render hurt for hurt. Well, look, the people, you say, for the house, somebody's trying to destroy me. What can I do? Good. That's the only conqueror of evil. Keep on soul winning. Keep on helping people. Keep on lifting the fallen. Keep on encouraging the discouraged. Stay after sinners. That's the way you do it. All right? Okay. What causes evil? Tell me. Talk to me. What causes evil? What conquers evil? Now follow me carefully. Here is a guy that's doing good. And a group of people try to hurt him. And they're evil people. And I don't care who they are. I don't care if you got the facts on somebody, you're still not supposed to try to hurt them. I mean, I got a bunch of facts that could hurt a lot of people, but I won't use it. I've counseled with most all of these people. You'd be amazed if I wrote what I know about their marriages. You would buy a copy. If I just wrote what I know, because I've counseled with them. About the marriages of the people trying to destroy me. You say, well, why don't you do it? Okay, I think I will. No, I'm not going to do that. Why? There's a world going to hell out there. And the way that you destroy, the way you conquer evil is with good. So if somebody's trying to hurt you, I'm not saying necessarily do good to them, though that's okay. I'm saying just keep on doing good. So this person doing good. Evil comes. What do you do? How do you conquer evil? Do more good. That evil comes. How do you conquer evil? Do more good. All right, now follow me carefully. That means good causes more evil, and evil causes more good. And good causes more evil, and evil causes more good. Which means doing good will always overcome evil, and evil cannot overcome doing good. Listen to this carefully. So evil seems to be the motivation for doing more good. So I guess we ought to thank the evildoers. Because every time they do something evil against us, we've got to try to conquer that evil by doing more good. And so we had a better summer this year than we would have had if we hadn't had evildoers. It's Bible. What you want to do is choose up sides and have a gang war. That's what I want to do too. But that's not what God wants me to do. God wants me to keep on doing good. And the doing good is that which conquers the evil. So turn to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Remember the story of Joseph when he was sold into slavery by his brothers? And then he went to Egypt and his brothers came to Egypt and to get some food. Look what Joseph said. Verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. All right, now look at me, and I want to give you the closing point. So evil can make or break you. It's up to you. Evil can be the best thing that ever happened to you. I love that story about this black fellow down south. The judge said, Rastus, I sentence you to die in the electric chair. He said, you have anything to say for yourself? And he said, yes, sir. He said, this is going to be a good lesson to me. That's sort of what I'm talking about right now. When somebody tries to do you evil, the only way you can overcome that evil is do more good. Consequently, it's up to you. Evil people can destroy you or evil people can help you. Evil people can catapult. I use those Greek words all the time. Evil people can catapult you to greater good, or they can destroy the good that you're doing. But I want to say this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 for our last scripture tonight. Page 1220. There hath no temptation or testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Let's stop right there. God will not suffer you to be tested or tempted above that ye are able. That means I am able to bear the evil against me right now. Is that right? God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation, also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. All right? Now, I am able to bear the evil against me right now. I may not bear it, but I'm able to. I may choose not to. But I can bear the burden that I bear right now. You can bear whatever burden that you have right now. God will not allow you, evildoers, to hurt you more than you can take. Now, you may not take it. You may give up before you use all your resources. But you don't have to give up, and you can take whatever God allows to be placed on you. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will also, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So, I don't know what your burden is right now, but you can bear it. You may not bear it, but you can bear it. So, consequently, well, how do you bear it? I'll tell you how you bear it. If evil people are trying to hurt you, let me tell you what to do. You go in your bedroom and lock the door. And put your head under the pillow and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. Or you call all the people you can and have a pity party. No, that's not the way you do it. You don't overcome evil with sympathy. You overcome evil with good. So if you are under attack today from people trying to hurt you, then the only way in the world you're going to conquer that is by the doing of good. Find somebody to help. Find somebody to feed. Find somebody to clothe. You do good. And that's the only conqueror of evil. Now, what you want to do is you want to use the same evil methods they use to fight back. But then you become evil also. Because whom you hurt doesn't make you evil. The fact that you do hurt makes you evil. Makes you evil. Make you evil. The fact that you do hurt somebody makes you evil. I mean, if somebody deserves to be hurt, and you get back to hurt them, then you are doing exactly what they did, and the Bible doesn't say hurt bad people and don't hurt good people. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. All right, let's review. Sin, is all sin an evil? No. Is all evil sin? All right? Evil is that sin which is to do what somebody else? Hurt somebody else. And it is also is it individually done or is it done group-wise? It's done more than one person. Two can do it. When two or more people get together to try to hurt somebody else, that is what? Evil. Okay. Now then, what causes people to do evil? Good. The doing of good by other people. That's not what causes you to get drunk. You don't get drunk trying to hurt somebody. You get drunk trying to help yourself. Get your mind off your problems. But when you do sin to hurt somebody else, then that is evil. So evil is and by the way, evil is almost always done by inferior people to superior people. I happen to be a Lou Holtz fan. I happen not to be a Notre Dame fan, but since he's over Notre Dame, I like him anyway. I'm a Lou Holtz fan. Lou Holtz is a Christian man. Lou Holtz is a decent and a Christian man. He happens to have the best football team year after year. His team and probably University of Miami will fight for the national title almost every year. So who gets it? He gets it. I'm not a Pete Rose fan, but I don't think Pete Rose ought to be in jail right now unless everybody's in jail that has a lottery ticket. I'm saying that it is always little people that do evil against people above them. You girls, you don't ever criticize the looks of anybody that's uglier than you, if you can find such a person. Look at all the makeup she uses. Wish I had the money she has for a wardrobe. You don't do that for somebody that's uglier than you. Evil is always shooting up. All right? What causes evil? Good. What cures evil? And then you do more good, then you get more what? And that makes you do what? And that makes more what come? More evil. And that, how do you cure that? I hate to say this, but it sounds like almost that the more good you're going to do, you're almost going to have more evil. I don't like that. I suspect that's true. I have an idea that the measure of good that most